This week, I'm speaking with Chantrell P. Lewis, the curator and force behind Dandelion, Rearticulating Black Masculine Identity. Chantrell Lewis, welcome to the Local Take.
Hi, Shep. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, for someone who has no idea what the dandelion means, can you give an explanation that anyone would understand?
Sure. I think historically when people, particularly within the black community, heard the word dandy, like that term, it brings up images of, you know, white men and European era Victorian England with ruffled shirts and pointy shoes. And they don't think about their grandfathers with their really sharp suits and their fedoras and the bow ties and the vest and the accoutrements that they wear. That is, for me, what a dandelion is. It's a black man who takes the traditional suit and remix it with his swag and his African sensibilities in terms of culture and color and style.
I think that is a wonderful explanation. Now, what made you decide to curate a show on this subject? You know, why did you think you were the person to bring this culture, so to speak, to the forefront?
I mean, I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, Les Montagnes Roulées, and, you know, as a woman from the South, I was surrounded by men in my family who dressed up, and I never recalled my grandfather dressing casually or my great uncles dressing casually. I mean, anytime these men stepped outside of the house, you know, their shirts were, you know, like super starched, and their pants and their suspenders and their hats. And so these were the images that I had of black men in my family. And when I remember going to college, I went to Howard, HU, we had that in common. And I remember, you know, thinking like, wow, these dudes are dressed so casually on campus. I mean, particularly the guys from the East Coast. And so it made me really start to think about like how people present, particularly in my generation. And I started to also think about the like negative stereotypes of black men that we're bombarded with in media and popular culture. And I didn't feel like those images really reflected the men that I knew. So in thinking about my own personal experiences and the men in my community that I interacted with on a day-to-day, and then also learning about this subculture of black men and it not being just in like these little pockets of urban centers, but like actually everywhere around the African diaspora, I thought it was very interesting to explore, to present this new imagining or narrative of, like, you know, who black men are and how they see themselves.
Well, I have to share that I absolutely love the exhibition that is taking place at the Hammond's House. You know, the photographs are provocative, and the men, they just look so good. It is a wonderful experience to see them, and they're confident, you know, no matter what the clothes are, you know,
right,
from kilts to pink pocket squares. Isn't confidence kind of that indicator of masculinity, of a strong, you know, man?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's why I say it's not the suit that makes the man, but it's the man that makes the suit. And it's the swag that goes along with that. I mean, if you think about like President Obama, right, when he was in office, he wasn't wearing like really loud colored suits. I don't recall him ever wearing like a brightly colored Oswald Boateng suit. But it was a swag that he exuded in his suits, like in that office, that made everyone, I think, both admire him and respect him, but then also that's what gravitated people toward him as this, like, iconic figure. It was more about the swag. And so, for me, the exhibition speaks more to style than it does fashion. Like, anyone can go into a store, you know, like a luxury brand store, and then pick out an item of clothing and put it on and say, oh, I'm wearing this label, I'm wearing that label, so this means something. It takes a different type of person, however, to go into, like, let's say, a thrift store and buy, like, an old vintage suit, have it tailored, then pair that with, like, an African print bow tie, and then maybe some, you know, brightly colored socks or shoes or like some other type of accessory or accoutrement, that's a whole another level of creativity. I think improvisation that can be found in other like genres of our culture, like jazz and hip hop. And it just speaks to like the identity of black men as individuals and as a group at large.
You know, one of the other things you just mentioned in the exhibit, the subjects and the pictures are from the entire African diaspora, you know, from right. Africa to the Caribbean, Europe. Is this, were you surprised to find this commonality in black men throughout the world?
No, and I think that has more to do with the fact that my research has, you know, for the past 2 decades been, you know, deeply rooted in the African diaspora and really understanding the ways that, you know, we are similar as a people. Like, what are the connections between, you know, culture in New Orleans and culture in Haiti? And then, you know, what are the relationships and connections between, like, you know, Saudade da Bahia, Brazil, and Lagos? And so it wasn't really surprising to me because there are a lot more links connecting us as a people across the diaspora than I think there are differences.
And now, black men who dress, this exhibition really does kind of rearticulate black masculine identity, as you mentioned. Could this mm-hmm. be confused with the opposite of mansplaining? Because you're a woman kind of explaining this new identity to men.
You know, it's so funny because I don't feel like I'm the person that's articulating it. I feel like it's the subjects themselves that they're rearticulating their masculinity. So I think I've just created a platform in which this conversation to take place. And not only between just like straight men with one another, but straight men and queer men, in some cases, a queer masculine of center women, because masculinity isn't just based on like gender. I mean, it supersedes that. And so you will find some women who are also dapping up, who are dressing up, and who are presenting themselves in this way as well. And so I think this conversation, it touches upon all of that. And so as a woman, I'm definitely not articulating anything about masculinity, but I think it is actually the dandies, the dandelions themselves, who are stating that there are other forms of masculinity outside of the hyper-masculine narrative of black men that exists, that we live as a lifestyle and embrace every single day.
I love that explanation. And it brings me to the point that fashion is always evolving. You know, what's in yes. this year is out next year. And right. it looks as if you mentioned the dandies take these classics, and classics, even with their flair, do they always maintain, you know, stylishness? They hold up no matter what the trends are?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I mean, if you look at some of these images, it seems as if they were photographed in the 20s or the 30s or the 50s and 60s, but it's timelessness that exists in true style. And that's the difference between, I think, fashion and style, is that style lives forever. I mean, fashion will come and go, but style actually lives forever.
And we know African-American men have style.
Absolutely. Some more than others.
Some more than others.
I'll definitely say that. Some more than others, yes, but they absolutely do.
And the other thing that I loved about the pictures, not just the confidence, but the styles were so broad. You've got, you know, African men in kilts. You've got men yep. in very European suits with, you know, the accoutrements, you said the pins and the ribbons and the things. It's such a broad display of fashion and style being worn by these men in all of the pictures.
Yeah, with the suit as the base, as the primary base, or like the suit jacket. So like the suit jacket with the kilt. And I think that is what is so fascinating about it, because it's really, you know, European, it's a European aesthetic that black men have Africanized. They've come and they've taken these suits, like really from like Edwardian era Europe, and then they've made it something completely their own. And I think that's what's like, you know, that's what engrosses people. That's what captivates people. The fact that they remixed this European style, appropriated it, and made it something for themselves.
And the exhibition is called Dandelion Rearticulating Black Masculine Identity. And it is going to be at the Hammond's House Museum through April 28th. And I know you all have built a lot of different programs around the exhibition.
Yes. Leatrice Elzey, who is amazing executive director of Hammond's House, who has deep roots in the Atlanta community. She has, you know, called together so many curators and historians and cultural producers and makers to have all kinds of dynamic conversations, from, you know, conversations amongst like cisgender straight black men to conversations amongst like queer black men. We're even planning an evening for, you know, Morehouse students, faculty and staff and alumni. So that's like a garden party. I mean, there's so many incredible programs that people can check out by going to HammondsHouseMuseum.org.
So I think this is a wonderful exhibit. I think everyone should try and come to see it. All ages, men, women, and children. It really is great to see. But I want to ask you a couple of personal questions. Chantrell, how did you come to curate art? Is this something that you always wanted to do? Did you grow up knowing that this is what you wanted your profession to be?
Absolutely not. I grew up thinking I wanted to be a doctor. I grew up thinking I wanted to be the next Oprah. I mean, I'm a Gemini, so I had lots of different interests, but I've always had a passion for our history and our culture that I think was cultivated more as when I was a student at Howard University. And it wasn't until I went to grad school at Temple University that I started volunteering at the African American Museum in Philadelphia. And I saw an exhibition that was curated by historian and scholar Deborah Willis. And I was so enthralled with the process behind actually curating an exhibition. And I say, this is what I want to do. Maybe not for the rest of my life, but this is what I want to do. And so that's how I came into, curatorial career and art as a practice.
And what's next for you? What show are you curating now?
So right now, I'm actually, I feel like my work and my practice as a curator, I really see myself as a storyteller. And I think for like the past, decade and a half of my career has been spent telling stories in the form of like exhibitions and museums, but now I'm interested in film as a medium. I'll be working on a documentary about Girl Trek, which is the largest self-care and public health movement for black women in the country. And I'm really excited about, like the film project and some other media pieces that I'm producing for Girl Trek.
I love it. Girl Trek is about getting exercise and walking and running and all that kind of good stuff.
It's walking 30 minutes a day and trying to prevent black women from dying from preventable diseases and from obesity. And so I'm like so inspired by the work that they've been doing in our community. I think it's like really exciting. And I'm interested in very excited to tell their story. And I'm also working with my husband, who is also a Howardite, who is from Nigeria. And he and I founded Shop Black, which is a startup that's focused on supporting and promoting Black-owned businesses globally. And so we'll be launching the next stage of that initiative later on this year.
Now, for folks who want to keep up with you and find out what else is going on, how can they find you and follow your work?
I'm on the social media. I'm on Instagram at APChantology, Shantology. They can check out the Dandelion Project. I'm on this website, thedandelionproject.com. They can go to shopblack.us. Just reach out and keep in touch and supporting our history and our culture.
Chantrell Lewis, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.